are you have the Columbus Solar Initiative, and they're working, small group of volunteers working to bring 1,000 solar panels to Columbus by the end of the year. That's their goal.
Right.
And I'm wondering, have you seen much interest in solar power in Columbus?
We've seen some interest, and occasionally we'll get people talk to us about trying to use public facilities, but we haven't yet seen, you know, any results from this activity. I'm looking forward to it. I think it can be exciting.
Have you seen very many people, private property, small businesses, people that are engaging with solar power?
Not too many. No, I haven't. They may be out there, but I just haven't seen them.
Okay, great. And so the city then doesn't have a plan to...
We don't have a plan right now. We've got a number of projects that we're working on, but you know, we want to try to get through those before we tackle something like solar. You know, I was at a conference this past week where they talked about trying to go green, whether it's solar electricity generation or hybrid vehicles or what have you. And I think it makes sense for us to think, give some thought to that, because in many ways cities are expected to be leaders. I mean, leaders for the community. So I get the notion, but it's we've got a few other things we've got to work through first.
Are you talking about the Conference of Mayors that was in Indianapolis?
Yeah, I was up there for that.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about what you got from that.
Well, it was kind of interesting. First thing you realize is that many cities across the country have similar issues to what we have. And so they have adopted, or they've got responses, and so you're interested in trying to understand what those are. There are some communities that have really embraced, as you mentioned a moment ago, the solar initiative or the green initiative. You know, I was talking to the mayor of Bloomington. He's complaining that he can't get his hybrid buses underneath the railroad, you know, because the underpass isn't tall enough. So, you know, there's plenty of talk out there about that. Another thing that you realize is that the quality of leadership among many of the cities across the country is pretty high. Most of the mayors I met, are very well informed about not only their own communities, but what federal legislation or state legislation would do to them and how it might affect their, you know, their road funding or their police funding or what have you. We had a couple of really interesting presentations on electronic interface with city government. You know, there are some apps out there now that you could put on your phone or use through existing applications that would allow you to pay your parking fine or to pay your utility bill or pay, you know, other taxes or revenues for the various cities. And so I think it makes sense for us to investigate that. It seemed to me to be a little bit more efficient than the old paper snail mail way that we often do this, or even if you're having an automatic deduction from your checking account. This seemed to me to be a little bit more user-friendly. So there's plenty to learn, and I found it really interesting.
Did you talk to any mayors, have any exchanges that surprised you or that made you think, oh, yeah, that's something I haven't been thinking about?
Well, the whole electronic smartphone applications were something that really weren't on our radar. And so I really did appreciate the opportunity to learn more about that. It was interesting to listen to some of the speakers that they had. Again, they're talking about ways in which they can develop their downtowns and different kinds of incentives for developers to come in, either build an apartment complex or to build some kind of an office facility. We had a very interesting presentation from the folks from Phillips about how lighting can be used to soften a space and make it a little bit more inviting. How you can use lighting, like we do here in town with the bridge, Stewart Bridge. You know how you can use that to change the look, change the feel, and enhance the public space that we've got. So really interesting stuff.
Mm-hmm. So the bike share program's been around for about a month now.
Sounds right. Mm-hmm.
And I know that you were saying that you wanted the People's Trail to be as much about transportation, maybe more about transportation than it is about recreation.
Right.
Have you seen greater use of kind of these paths and the bikes and transportation that's less focused on cars?
Yeah, it's a little hard to tell at this point whether the activity that we're seeing is something that, how do I want to put this, is people checking out the novelty or whether they're actually using this the way we had intended. So I think it's a little bit too early to say whether we're getting the kind of traction that we're after. I also think that we may have to wait for some of the hot weather to dissipate a little bit. I don't know that riding a bicycle when it's 95 degrees outside is really, on everybody's top of everybody's list. But I do think that we need to try to introduce this to our culture, and that is that there are ways to transport yourself other than by car. And bicycles, obviously, are a big help with that. Street, you know.
Why is it such a priority for you to have a place for bicycles and people walking?
Well, I guess there's two or three things going on there. One is that, you know, we've pretty much built our environment to respond to cars, and we have to a great extent left out people and bicycles. You know, earlier today I tried to cross 2nd Street, just got to get something to eat, and you know, three cars went before I did, you know, because they don't quite understand how we're supposed to treat pedestrians, I guess. So, you know, to the extent that we want to encourage people to get out and walk and to use a form of transportation other than automobiles, we need to make it safe for them to do so. At the same time, you know, part of the encouragement is that it's healthier. I think it's better connected. You'll be better connected to your environment if you're outside a little bit more often. I think, too, that we've learned from some of the millennials that have been recruited to come here to Columbus that they value that. And at the end of the day, you know, we need to give an environment to our residents that they value. And so it's important for us to understand what they value. And we're being told that they like outdoor activities. They like, you know, being able to walk or bike. And so we want to respond to that, you know.
That's interesting. So it's as much about economic development as it is about
absolutely
health.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. Tell me a little bit about Exhibit Columbus.
Sure. Part of it stems from a realization that came about maybe a year or more ago that you know, we have this exceptional built environment in Columbus, but perhaps we haven't done as much with it as we can. I mean, we do a good job of attracting tourists, and but maybe there's a step up that we can take, and maybe we can use it as an educational tool, not only for ourselves, but perhaps for others who are interested in design. And the notion would be to try to sit down and examine, or as best we can remember, why the architect did what he did. I mean, if you take a look at the Cleo Rogers Library, you know, and if you look at where it sits, you know, why did they want to close Lafayette Street? You know, why did it have to sit over to the side where it is? What was the architect trying to accomplish with that? And if you go into the First Christian Church and you look at what Saarinen did, you know, why is it designed the way it is? I mean, what was he trying to help us understand? And so the notion was to try to recover some of that lost thought. And we got a little bit of a historical perspective that comes out of this, where we've tried to archive the plans and the whatever written material there is that surrounds, you know, the time when the buildings came online. And then from that it came out that, well, perhaps we could develop additional interest in Columbus architecture if we sponsored a contest, you know. And so we've got a contest coming that will get kicked off here later on this year, where we will ask a group of designers from around the country to come to Columbus, take a look at, they'll be assigned specific buildings, and then come up with a complementary design, you know, that would either fit with the existing structure, or that might you know, show some evidence of it in another way, and then we could, you know, move that to another location in town. But the whole idea would be within the architectural community at a very high level to draw more attention to Columbus. And at the end of the exhibition, at the end of the contest, there'll be a prize that's awarded. And, you know, it's probably a little presumptuous to try to equate it with the Nobel Prize or the Pritzker Prize or something like that. But, you know, that's, you know, make no small plans. I mean, that's what we're trying to do, is to increase awareness of the architectural legacy that we have in Columbus, and to use it for something other than just to enjoy. You know, use it to teach. Use it to help people understand, you know, the kinds of problems that the architect saw and the solutions that he or she came up with.
It's about putting these buildings into context.
Well, that and you know, trying to find a use for them other than to beautify the area. You know, they're a tool. We're going to use them for something. So, you know, what is that?
That's interesting.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
It really is. It is something new. It has the opportunity to be a game changer for our community. And, yeah, we're pretty excited about it.
What do you mean by game changer?
Well, a game changer in terms of, you know, where Columbus says, We've enjoyed a decent stature with respect to the architectural circles, but we think that this might be able to take us to a higher level. If you take a look, there's a contest or a project up in Grand Rapids. There's an art award or an art exhibit. And among artists, it has become something that's quite attractive. It just tends to bring people in, so there's an economic development piece to it, but it tends to make people a little bit more appreciative of the art that they have there in Grand Rapids. So our hope is that this makes the residents who live here a little bit more appreciative of the architecture that they live with every day.
When does this project start, and when is the award given?
Well, the project's already underway, although it's just pretty quiet right now. But in the fall, there will be a number of exhibits. I say the fall, it'll be September. There'll be a number of exhibits, a number of public discussions with Will Miller, you know, the son of Irwin Miller, who whose idea this was. And then the contest and the design phase will start then with an award. I think it's next summer, you know, something like that. So it's going on.
Great. Thank you. I appreciate your time today.
Oh, you're welcome. Yeah.